You're listening to an audio from Sherwood Shores Chapel in Gordonville, Texas.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 17. As we continue to go through this chapter here of Jesus' high priestly prayer. You know, few satisfactions in life can rival that of a job well done. Anyone who follows a task through to completion, rewarded with the approval of others and the personal sense of achievement. Now, while it's true that nothing that we do in this life merits true and ultimate satisfaction because nothing that we do in this life is perfectly good. I can paint a house, but eventually it's going to need repainting again. You know, you can build a house, but eventually that house will fall down. Nothing that we do in this life, our work is never finished. But a wonderful thing about the Lord Jesus Christ is that it says that after he had purchased salvation for all those who would believe, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. He sat down because his work was complete. And he is the only person who is completely satisfied with his work, having perfectly accomplished his mission in life. And here in John 17, Jesus prays out of his own satisfaction and the Father's approval of the work that he achieved to perfection of our salvation. Look at me at verses 4 and 5 in John 17. Jesus says, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Jesus received a work. He talks here about the work that God had given him to do. In some time in the past, not only did Jesus obey the Father perfectly in his life here on earth, but he prays about a specific mission that he came into the world to fulfill. The Apostle Peter, in the book of 1 Peter, he speaks of Christ as being the one who was crucified before the foundation of the world. That he died before the foundation of the world, before God ever created anything, before he ever said, let there be light, before he ever created this planet that we live on, Jesus had determined that he would come and die for our sins. I don't understand that. Here's why I don't understand. Before God ever reached down, formed Adam out of the dust of the earth, God knew what Adam was going to do. He knew what it was going to cost his son. You know what he did? He did it anyway. I don't understand that. But God, in his love, did it anyway. God knew us, the Bible teaches, before we were ever created in this world. In the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20, it says, now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, by the blood of the eternal covenant, in eternity past, sometime before God ever created anything, there was a time when the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, the Holy Trinity, there together, they made a covenant with one another called the Covenant of Redemption, which meant that what they said was that God the Father would choose us out of this world, that God the Son would purchase us out of this world, and that God the Spirit would sanctify us in this world. called the covenant of redemption. God the Father chose us. God the Son purchased us. And God the Father sanctifies us. And we receive salvation by faith alone, because Christ accomplished our salvation by his works, fulfilling a covenant with the Father that was sealed sometime in eternity past. Now, again, I don't understand this, but I know it's here. But here's what that means to me. Here's what this means to you, that in eternity past, the covenant of redemption between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, that our eternal redemption would be completed. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 1, he who began a good work in you will complete it. Will complete. Does that bring comfort to you? Does that make you want to fall on your knees and just say, God, thank you? That he who began a good work. You know who the he is, right? That's God. He began the work. And he, again, God, will complete it. Now, here's what Paul did not say. I don't want you to miss this. Paul did not say, he who began a good work in you will complete it as long as you do what you're supposed to do. Or as long as you don't sin anymore. Or as long as you stay faithful in church. Or as long as you proclaim the gospel. Doesn't say that. It says, he who began a good work in you will complete it. Period. Will complete it. And sometime, and Jesus says here in verse 3, he said, verse 4, I glorified you on earth having accomplished the work you gave me to do. Again, we talked about this last week. Here's the fascinating thing about this. He hasn't done it yet. He's not going to the cross till the next day. He hasn't done it yet. But yet, he knew that it would be completed. He completed his work throughout his life and his ministry. Jesus referred constantly to being sent by the Father on a saving mission. Now, just before his arrest, Jesus sees the completion of the work given to him by God. He knows he's going to accomplish what he was sent to do. Jesus sees the cross as finished, as an act that has already been done. And Jesus did what the first Adam failed to do. He kept the law of God perfectly. You know what that means? There's been a lot of talk in recent years amongst evangelicals, that's us, about whether Jesus was really virgin born. Does it really matter? Why does it matter? That's right. I want to tell you, number one, it matters because God said it was. Number two, it matters because that means he was sinless. That means he was sinless. He obeyed the law of God perfectly. He told them, he said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it. He said, I came to do what you cannot. I came to do what Adam failed to do, what the first Adam failed to do. And by doing so, he brought in everlasting righteousness for all who believe. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 19, Paul says, for as by one man's disobedience, that's Adam, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's, that's Jesus, obedience, the many will be made righteous. In Isaiah 53, it says that he took upon himself our sorrows. He took upon himself our sins. But it also says the Father was satisfied with what Jesus had come to do. We know that Jesus finished his work and he accomplished his mission, not only because he prayed in this way, but because the Father publicly declared his satisfaction with what Jesus had come to do. By the way, do you know what that was? Do you know how God showed us that he was perfectly satisfied with the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross? Next month, we're going to talk about it. Paul declares in Romans 1, that God raised him from the dead. That was God saying, I'm satisfied with his sacrifice. Now, here's an interesting thing. If God is satisfied with the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, what does that mean to me? It means I can't do anything. I can't be good enough. I don't have to be good enough. You see, too often we tend to think that God will do things for us if we're good enough. But do you realize that God doesn't do things for us because we're good? God does things for us because He's good. Because He's good. And here Jesus said, I have accomplished what you sent me to do. The Father was glorified in our salvation. The ultimate purpose, as we said, of our salvation is the glory of God. And today we sing the doxology. We sing a hymn praising God's glory. I don't know if we can fully understand. I don't know if I can convey to you exactly what Jesus is saying to the Father right here. He's saying, I accomplished the work you gave me to do. Now again, that work was given to him somewhere in eternity past. Sometime before God ever created anything, this was a settled deal. And now Jesus says, I have accomplished what you gave me to glorify God, to display God's worthiness and his qualities or attributes. That's what it means to glorify God. And Jesus has come and he has shown the world who the Father is because they didn't know. Now, the Jews thought they knew. You know, have you ever read in the Bible, I think... You'll read in there where it talks about, uses a phrase called a Sabbath day's journey. Have you ever read that? You know what that meant? That meant that on the Sabbath day, you had a certain distance you could go and back, and that was called a Sabbath day's journey. And if it was any farther than that, you were breaking the law. You remember when Jesus and his disciples were walking through the cornfield, and they were grabbing the ears of corn and rubbing them in their hands, and the Pharisees, hey, you can't do that on the Sabbath. That's work. You know, if you spit on the ground and rubbed your foot with it to make mud, that was work. You couldn't do that. You see, they didn't know who the Father was. They thought the Father was this God that stood up there with this rolling pin in his hand and bonk you on the head every time you did something wrong. We still think the same thing, by the way. But Jesus said, I'm going to show you who the Father is. Jesus displayed the infinite, praiseworthy character of God, His holiness, His power, His goodness, His sovereignty and justice and truth and mercy. All these things we see in the Lord Jesus Christ. His work glorified. He says, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence. Notice this. With the glory that I had with you before the world existed. What does that tell us? That Jesus is God. He was glorified. And the work that he came to do, Jesus came to do everything he did. We have this idea that Jesus came to earth for the sole purpose of saving us. That Jesus came and he lived a perfect life. He died upon a cross and he bore our sins for us. Did you know that's not true? Jesus did all that for the Father. We're just the recipients of it. But he did it ultimately to glorify God. Now, this is what we were talking about in Sunday school this morning. You and I, we exist for one purpose, to glorify God. We are saved to glorify God. We belong to a church to glorify God. We read and study our Bibles for the glory of God. We pray for the glory of God. We share the gospel for the glory of God. Everything we do should be to the glory of God. Now, you know why I can say that? Because we are to walk like Christ walked. And you know what his whole purpose was? To glorify God. To glorify God. To make known, to display God's praiseworthy qualities and his attributes. Let me ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. in your life as a believer in Christ, does your unsaved neighbors, do your unsaved church members, there's probably some of those too, your unsaved family members, do they see you glorify God? Do they see you show forth the attributes of God in your life as you glorify Him? Because as we also read in Sunday school this morning, remember what Jesus said? He said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and do what? Glorify God. Do you notice a common theme here? Glorify God. That's what we're called to do. And Jesus glorified Him. But Jesus was also glorified here for His works. We notice four things. Jesus asserts His full deity, His co-equal and co-eternal with the Father. He says, glorify Me with that glory that I had with you before the world existed. Christ resumed His outward former glory. It had to be such an experience for the Apostle John that one day he's walking with Jesus, he's on the boat with Jesus, he's fishing with Jesus. The next day, he's sitting there at that table, he's sitting there beside the Lord, he's got his head laying over on the Jesus' chest. You know, I love that throughout his gospel, John always refers to himself as the one whom Jesus loved. John was there on the mountain when Jesus was transfigured. John was there when He turned water into wine. He was there when He raised Lazarus from the dead. And you'd think that being that close to Jesus, being that intimate with Him, that day on the island of Patmos when Jesus was there and He said, hey, John. John would have ran up and hugged Him, said, Lord, I've missed You. But he didn't. You know what he did? He didn't just fall on his face. As a dead man. John said, I fell on my face like a dead man. I didn't move. What was the difference? The difference was God the Father answered Jesus' prayer right here. He glorified Him with the glory that He had before the world existed. And I want to tell you something, folks. One day, that same Jesus, that angel told them, he said, that same Jesus whom you see ascend into heaven will one day come back. And I want to tell you, when He comes back, He's not going to be that carpenter in sandals that walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem touching the blind man. He's going to be the King of Kings coming back glorified with the glory He had with the Father before the world existed. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is who will come back. God will answer this prayer that Jesus makes right here. Jesus was glorified in this. But here's the thing. Jesus was satisfied with the work that He came to do. He was satisfied with the job He'd done. He says, I have accomplished the work You gave Me to do. The Father said, Son, I am satisfied with the work You came to do. Here's the question. Are you satisfied with the work Jesus came to do? Are we satisfied with what He came to do? Is His sacrifice enough? Is it? Why do we walk around all the time thinking, well, if I don't go to church, God's going to be mad at me? I've had people tell me that. I remember one time I had a lady that was real sick. She had the flu real bad, and she missed church for about 3 Sundays, and she came in the next Sunday. She walked down the aisle at the end of the service. She said, Pastor, she said, please pray for me. I know God's mad at me because I've been out of church for 3 weeks. And I felt so bad for her. And I told her, I said, no, He's not. By the way, did you know, if you are a believer in Christ, listen to this. Did you know if you this morning are a born-again follower of Jesus Christ that God never, ever, ever gets mad at you? Ever. You know how I know that? Because Jesus accomplished what he came to do, which was to do what? Satisfy the wrath of God. You know what that means? None left for me. There's none left for anybody who follow Christ. Jesus accomplished it, what he came to do. There's the old song that says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Jesus accomplished what he came to do. But what does that mean to us? I mean, yes, that means that I can do nothing to earn my salvation. You all agree with that, right? It means that I can do nothing to stay in God's favor because I'm never out of it, right? So what does it mean? As I walk and I live my day-to-day life, what does Jesus' prayer to the Father mean? When he says, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence, in your own presence, with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Here's what that means to you and me. That today we serve an exalted, glorified Christ. That this is his church. By the way, that's a whole nother sermon, but you know this is not our church. This is his church. And as I walk and I live day to day, I can walk and I can rest in the finished work of Christ. You want me to tell you how I can glorify God ultimately in my life? How you can ultimately glorify God in your life? You want to know? Believe on Jesus Christ. That's what glorifies the Father. Jesus said, I have accomplished the work you gave for me. Now glorify me in your own presence with the glory I had with you before the world was. Jesus paid it all. Jesus did it all. And you and I can walk and rest. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can walk around and I don't have to say, oh, I failed the Lord here and I failed the Lord there and I've sinned here and I've sinned there. God is so upset with me. God's not going to bless me. God's not going to do this. God's not going to do that. And I can stand back and I can say, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. There's no wrath left for me. So I can go forth with the work that God has given me to do, which is to do what? Proclaim the gospel. That's all we're called to do. Everything in my life is to glorify God. And in glorifying God, by proclaiming what his son came to do and that he accomplished it. You know, There's an instance, if you read through the Gospels, when Jesus was crucified, says he cried with a loud voice and said, it is finished. It is accomplished. It is done. You know that word that he used there in the Greek is a word that when a conquering king would go out to battle and he would come back into the city, and the conquering king would be riding at the front of the procession of his army, and he would be shouting at the top of his lungs, it is finished. It is done. It is accomplished. That's what Jesus cried. And the Bible says that it grew dark. Now, that's very significant right there. That it grew dark almost like midnight in the middle of the day. Because I want to tell you, there was an exchange that took place between God the Father and God the Son. And it wasn't anybody's business but theirs. But we are the recipients of it. We are the ones that reap the benefits of it. When God the Father said, Son, good job. And the Son said, Father, I did this because I love you. And he looks at you and me and says, I did this because I love you. Now, go preach the gospel and glorify God. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning. We thank you that Jesus accomplished the mission that you've given him to do. We thank you that in eternity, Father, that the covenant of redemption was established. We thank you that you have chosen us out of this world, that Jesus, with his precious blood, has purchased us out of this world. We thank you, Father, that you, for your Holy Spirit who lives in us, who is sanctifying us, preparing us for a place that is out of this world. Father, this morning as we come to your table, may we remember the awful price that Jesus paid. This work that you gave him to do cost him everything. That his body that was taken and beaten beyond recognition, his blood that was poured out as he bore the sins of his people, may we remember the awful price. But may we also remember that the ultimate goal of it all was for your glory, Father. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul he says, I received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And as we come this morning, I'd like to invite you, if you're a member in good standing with the church, that you are more than welcome to come to the Lord's table with us. Gentlemen. Father, we thank you this morning for the precious body of our Lord Jesus Christ that was taken and beaten beyond recognition that he might bear our sins. And we thank it in his dear precious name. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. If you want to know more, please visit us at SherwoodShoresChapel.org. You can copy this audio. We ask only that you distribute it for free. God bless.